Our first reading is a lectionary reading this morning. It's from Psalm 107, the first 9 verses. So beautiful, so appropriate. Oh, thank God, He's so good. His love never runs out. All of you set free by God, tell the world. Tell how He freed you from oppression, and then rounded you up from all over the place, from the four winds, from the seven seas. Some of you wandered for years in the desert, looking but not finding a good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion. And then in your desperate condition, you called out to God, and He got you out in the nick of time. He put your feet on the wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. So thank God for His marvelous love, for His miracle mercy to the children He loves. He poured great draughts of water down parched throats. The starved and hungry got plenty to eat. And our New Testament gospel reading is from Luke 14, verses 7 through 14. He, that is Jesus, He went on to tell a story to the guests around the table. Noticing how each had tried to elbow into the place of honor, He said, "When someone invites you to dinner, don't take the place of honor. Somebody more important than you might have been invited by the host. And then he'll come and call out in front of everybody, 'You're in the wrong place. The place of honor belongs to this man.' And red-faced, you'll have to make your way to the very last table, the only place left. When you're invited to dinner, go and sit at the last place. And then, when the host comes, he may very well say, 'Friend, come up to the front.' And that will give the dinner guests something to talk about. What I'm saying is, if you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself." And then he turned to the host. "The next time you put on a dinner, don't just invite your friends and family and rich neighbors, the kind of people who will return the favor. Invite some people who never get invited out, the misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. You will be and experience a blessing. You will be a blessing and you will experience a blessing. They won't be able to return the favor, but the favor will be returned. And oh, how it will be returned at the resurrection of God's people." Here ends our beautiful scripture reading from our beloved Bible this morning. You know, people can be so funny. They spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like. Mark Twain said that he spent a large sum of money to trace and track down his family tree. And then he spent twice as much trying to keep his ancestry a secret. Some people's pride often makes them a target for humor. One example, a well-known comedian was leaving an elegant salon one evening. And unfortunately, as usual, he was at least slightly intoxicated. So he found himself face to face with a uniformed man whom he took to be the door attendant. "Would you get me a taxi, my good man?" he requested. The uniformed man drew himself up proudly. "See here, I happen to be a rear admiral in the United States Navy." The comedian responded, "Oh, just get me a battleship then." One time, when Jesus was invited to a Sabbath meal with one of the top leaders of the Pharisees, all the guests had their eyes on him, watching his every move closely. Many of them wondered what he was all about. So they listened attentively to what he had to say, maybe not knowing then that the time would come that they would use every word he spoke to somehow get him arrested and crucified. At that stage, they were apparently still very uneasy in the presence of the carpenter from Galilee. It was then that Jesus took the floor by way of speaking. That Jesus spoke about God's coming kingdom. And he was attending the meal by special invitation. Only the rich and privileged were invited. Well, he wasn't rich or privileged, so they must have had another reason for inviting him. They only associated that crowd with those who could and would invite them back. In other words, I invite you to today and you invite me next time. That's the deal between us. There were no room for the rest, for others. As the Bible calls it, the misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. On that occasion, Jesus shared his vision of what the kingdom of God is all about. And that was a new message. It was so entirely different from what everyone before understood and thought. Oh yes, the kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about also had a guest list, and invitations did go out, but invitations without discrimination went out in all the wind directions. They had to understand, those people, that God's list of invited guests is entirely different from their own. In short, God is throwing a party, and all are invited. RSVP. Please respond. And then Jesus turned to the host. "The next time you put on a dinner, don't just invite your friends and family and rich neighbors, the kind of people who will return the favor. Invite some people who never get invited out, the misfits from the wrong side of the tracks." And I think now members, friends, visitors, for the first or for the so manyth time, you're beginning to get the message. You are here by invitation. Each and every one of you, nobody got in by accident. Because the intention of the kingdom of God is an open invocation, always followed by RSVP. Please respond in the language of our time. Because in God's kingdom, there is room for all. There is room for you. There is room for me. There is also room for people who are fleeing injustice. People who have always been on the outside looking in. The poor, the disabled, those who cannot see with physical eyes. The overlooked, the downtrodden, the dispossessed. All has a place in the kingdom of God. Listen exactly what Jesus said. You will be and you will experience a blessing. They won't be able to return the favor, oh no. But listen to the promise. The favor will be returned, said Jesus. And then he exclaimed, oh, how it will be returned. Gets one excited just by thinking about it. We are not the hosts, and it is not for us to decide who is welcome and who is not. That's what I love, one of the many sayings that we have about our church. All is welcome. All are. No sign outside, only you and not you. No matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, you are always welcome here. Of course, it's tempting for all of us to want to restrict our relationships to those who are members of our own inner circle. You know, at the Lord's table, there are so many surprises. As God's people, we are breaking bread with people we didn't even know existed. No matter who you are, let's break bread together. We are in the presence of a wonderful, forgiving, inviting God who gave us Jesus. The kingdom list is substantially different from one most of us would have selected. We all would be tempted to say, well, there are a few exceptions to any list. So have I. God, no. Our entire faith, our understanding of God, rests on the one fact. God is love, and God makes no exceptions and plays out a welcome mat only for a few. But then Jesus went on, the party, God's party, is specially prepared for those who cannot repay the invitation. You know, if you do some Bible study, there is a subtle theme present throughout the New Testament. It tells us of a God who throws parties. A woman finds a lost coin, throws a party. A lost boy comes home and his father throws a party. And remember how Jesus compared himself to a bridegroom at a wedding feast? And there's a difference here. He contrasted himself sharply with John the Baptist, who wandered in the desert, who came fasting. There's a difference here. Jesus was filled with life, joy, and the spirit of celebration. I don't know about you, but that's what I enjoyed about our New Testament scripture reading this morning. It's brimming with undertones of humor and laughter. And the way that Jesus told the story immediately catches one's interest, and you can see that he was perfectly at home. He knew what he was talking about, and there was exuberance, there was love, and there was joy even while he was speaking to those who were to become his enemies at a later time. And I'm going to be honest with you to say that many Christians have a difficult time with this side, the other side of our Lord's life. We do not know how to associate with a friendly, laughing, joyful Jesus. Yeah, we feel pretty much at home when we look at him from the perspective of a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, as we often should, because that is another part of the truth. But when it comes to be joyful, some churches prefer to clap a little bit of hands. We call them the happy clappies. And we feel we're not exactly part of that. When people express their joy, then many of us become just a little bit uncomfortable. Is this appropriate? Shouldn't I have a sad and a long face? Shouldn't I have a finger always ready to warn when you take a wrong step? That's the other side of Jesus. And may we celebrate Jesus as Jesus was and is from all different perspectives. Fred Craddock, the well-known professor of preaching in New Testament, tells a story of when he grew up during the Depression and how often money was in short supply for his family. Finally, the family lost their farm and they had to move to town to seek work. And every able family member tried to find some work to earn just a little bit of money. And Fred Craddock's family had the habit, they kept a cigar box on the kitchen table where all the funds that each of them earned were kept in order that his mother could pay the rent and buy the necessary food items. Little Johnny earned a few, maybe just a dollar. It went straight into the cigar box. And finally, they could live. They could pay the rent and buy the food. But his dad, he says, had a very peculiar habit. Occasionally, his dad, on a Friday night, would take some of the money, go to town, and buy Fred's mother a box of chocolates or a beautiful rose. And then she would always fuss and tell her husband that they did not have the funds to do that. And one day his father said something that Fred Craddock never forgot. When our lives are defined by what goes in and out of the box, then we will be poor people, impoverished. Life would have then robbed us of our joy. I'm going to repeat that. His father said, when our lives are defined by what goes in and out of the box, then we will be very poor people. And life would have been robbed of its joy for us. There's more to life than bread and butter alone. There is more to understanding who and what God is. And there is always something in the box that we can use for praise, for love, for changing the world around us. I'm talking about Christian joy. Joy is an essential part of every Christian's life. We've now heard that joy was also a part of Jesus' earthly life. The Pharisees, unfortunately in those days, had that same joyless attitude as Judas later showed. Judas was offended when a woman anointed the feet of Jesus with expensive perfume. And as he said, after all, the perfume could be sold to provide for the poor. Yeah, of course, caring for the poor is important. However, it is also important for the community of faith to celebrate the goodness and the generosity of God. It's important for us to share in the joy of being part of the family of God. I loved your shouting this morning. We were enjoying, we were exhilarated, because we were thankful, we were grateful, we were actually thanking God for something great has happened in our midst. What a great privilege to show that gratitude, to express that gratitude, and to have a little bit of fun together. I'm sure God wants us to. Of course, Jesus says that God rejoices every time a poor, lost sinner comes home. God is a generous, gracious God who throws parties. There you have it. What's more, your name, as well as mine, is on the party list. Did you get that? Did you hear what I just said? Jesus is throwing a feast, and you and I are invited again or for the first time today with the one challenge, RSVP. All you and I have to do is to accept the invitation. It begins deep inside us. The moment that we come to our senses, the moment that we begin to understand who God really is and what God is calling us to do. And then we begin to recognize that amidst the billions of people on earth, I am still an individual for God. God knows my name. And he says, you are my child. Now, obviously, at least one of us is going to say, I don't like this. I don't deserve to go to any party that Christ would throw. Dear one, you're right. Of course you don't deserve it, nor do I. But that's exactly the point of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Read the story. The people worth inviting are people who do not deserve it and cannot do anything to merit it. And now it becomes crystal clear. We cannot save ourselves. God's mercy and God's grace alone can and will save us. So if we are to be saved, we are saved by something that God has done, and not what we invented for ourselves. We're saved by God's works in and through Jesus Christ, not by our own. So everybody is worthy to attend the banquet, because the King deems us worthy, because he clothes us in the righteousness of God. And the only thing that could keep us out from being out in the dark, unhappy and forlorn, is when we refuse, when we ignore, when we pretend that we do not hear a voice calling even this day. You are invited. Once again, RSVP, come to the table. Come to the table. Just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that you called, inviting me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, your love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be yours and yours alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Amen.